Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to the middle of the week. You are at Wednesday. You are halfway to the weekend. We're counting it down and the camel's going to help us. Hit it, man.
Guess what day it is?
Yeah.
Guess what day it is? Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-woo! Yes, it is. That's right. You are halfway to the weekend. Congratulations on making it this far. We're going to take you all the way in. So, yeah, we got a great show lined up for you, and that would be JP pushing buttons on the board. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Doing good. It's hard to believe it's Wednesday already. It's like there's a lot of stuff that's happened this week in the news.
This has been a crazy week.
Yeah.
I mean, just even today has been a crazy day. What day is this? I mean, if I didn't know the camel was playing, I wouldn't even know what day it was right now.
That's truth be told. I didn't know either.
Anyway, all right. But we got a good one. You know the deal. If the camel sounds his horn at the beginning of the show, that means at 4 o'clock on the same day we do the Grand Council with Jeff Poore and Dale Jackson. We got them lined up at 4 o'clock. Grand Council, 4 o'clock. Stay tuned for that one. And then the triple dipper is just filled up with stuff, man. So hit it.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right. The triple dipper. Three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. So first out the gate, illegal idiocy. That's what I'm calling it. Illegal idiocy. The cacistocracy is filled up with jackassery, and they are heading down the road of illegal idiocy. We've got just an amazing amount of stupid decisions being made, and things we're having to fight, all related to illegal immigrants. And you look at it and go, why? Why are we doing this to ourselves? Well, we'll talk about that and more, along with what just happened in San Diego on the very topic. Illegal idiocy, number one on the triple dipper. Number two, you know the deal. Every once in a while when I'm working through my resourcing and I'm in the wee hours trying to get things ready to come on here and give you guys everything it takes to know how to walk around as a conservative in today's world, I find myself thinking, look at all the wokeness. How much wokeness can there be? There's more wokeness over there. All the wokeness. Oh, all God's children got some wokeness. Next thing you know, I've got a plethora, a cornucopia, a vast amount, basically a smorgasbord, if you will, of wokeness, and we have to do adventures in woke world, so that'll be today on number two on the triple dipper. And then number three, now I'm stealing the name of a much beloved video game, and I know it, Assassin's Creed. But I just threw that out there for attention because what we're going to talk about is the guy who is the alleged shooter, and it appears that for all practical purposes, he's it. The alleged shooter, Luigi Mangione, up in New York, who shot, just came out of nowhere and executed a CEO of a United Healthcare on the streets of New York. Well, there's this like strange love fest going on. Have you seen this? It's like, wait, hang on a second. He's not Bonnie and Clyde. He's not a good guy. He's don't do the dreamy eyed thing with, oh, he's so cute. Oh, I think he's a hero. He's a folk hero. No, he's not. He's a freaking murderer. A cold blooded shot him in the back murderer. But we're going to talk about Assassin's Creed. That's number three on the triple dipper. All right, let me move on here and get into the day's Right Side Way monologue. And I'll remind you guys, by the way, that attorney Stan McDonald, a partner at the law firm of Wilmer & Lee in Huntsville, attorney Stan McDonald is the daily sponsor of the Right Side Way monologue. And I'll tell you more about him in a minute. So here's my thoughts for the day. First of all, I predict that the left is not going to give up easily. They're not. They're still reeling from the election, but they will soon enough catch their breath, and then they will do all they can to shut down conservative views again. They'll do everything they can to find a way to push a progressive agenda. They'll tear down principles. They'll rewrite history. It's what they do. And when they do that, we're going to have some difficult situations as a nation, as a culture, and as believers. The left is not going to give up ground easily. I mean, they've had a veritable buffet of overindulgence in the last 4 years, and if you think that they're going to let their salacious appetites for wokeness be curbed or their rampant desire for control be curtailed, well, you're mistaken. We got to get ahead of the game. As conservatives, as Christians, we cannot let our guard down. And let me tell you, it will be easy to become angry. Don't do it. And it will be easy to become hateful. Don't do it. And it will be easy to be discouraged. Don't do it. But I'll tell you what else will be easy. in the face of an onslaught of liberal hatefulness, it'll become easier and easier to feel like things are just, you know, like too big for us to be able to do anything to make a difference. Don't do it. I mean, seriously, how many times have I come on the air and told you all that you are the resistance? I mean, if you can hear this right now, you are the resistance. You are the grassroots of America. You are the actual fabric of this country, the salt of the earth. And you need to know that no matter how little you may think of your own capabilities or your own difficulties, that you really can make a difference. So as I was thinking about putting those thoughts together for you today, I was reminded of a story. It's a true story. It's a true story about a guy who doubted his own ability to do anything meaningful. His life was too dark. His past was too awful. His sins were too great. And yet he did amazing things anyway. And the man's name is Sam Childers. Now, some of y'all may have heard of him. He's an international legend now. But if you're not familiar, let me tell you the story. You can look him up, and I encourage you to do so. This guy who was so dark and unable to see his way to the light, he became so well known that books and movies have been written about him. I mean, Sam Childers was born in 1963, and by the time he reached middle school, he had begun a years-long abuse of heavy drugs. He got his life straight enough to do a stint in the Marine Corps, but after his time in the service, he entered the world of outlaw biker gangs, and specifically rode with a group called the Highwaymen, a gang with a long history of racketeering, murder for hire, assault, drug trafficking, theft. But despite his lifestyle, though, he still wound up getting married to a woman named Lynn, and she had her own issues. At one point, Childers went to prison. And when he got out, he found out that his wife had quit her job as a stripper because she had accepted Christ as her Savior. Now, he didn't know what to do with that. I mean, he's a biker gang guy. He just got out of prison. His wife's now a believer, and he immediately went back to the biker life. He filled up his life with crime and drugs, and one night while he was stoned on heroin, he almost killed a guy. And it was a moment that brought him to his knees, and he agreed to go to church with his wife, where he was radically saved. Okay, so now he's a Christian, but he was still rough as a cob. He was rough as a cob, but he was saved. But life wasn't easy. I mean, his lifestyle had consequences. But he got stable work as a contractor. He helped his best friend get sober. He saw stability for the first time in years. And in 1997, Sam Childers went on a mission trip to the continent of Africa. And he spent time in the war-torn Sudan. Now, in Sudan, he saw firsthand the brutality of a beastly warlord named Joseph Kony. If you're not familiar with him, look him up. It's like something out of a movie. In fact, movies have been made about him. This beastly warlord named Joseph Kony, who ran a massive insurgent criminal group called the Lord's Resistance Army, the LRA. The LRA was branded a terrorist organization. They were horribly brutal. They were cult-like in their way of doing things. And because of Kony and the LRA, Sam Childers saw firsthand the number of people who were being maimed and brutalized. He saw children who would walk for miles to sleep near the orphanage where he was spending his time because it was safer than being in their villages where they would be kidnapped. And what he also saw were child soldiers. Children who had been kidnapped from their homes, made into slaves, brainwashed, and taught to kill. Children as young as 7 to 10 years old were called soldiers in Kony's LRA. So Sam Childers, he came home a changed man. Africa had a massive effect on him, and he felt led to do something. But what did he know? I mean, what could he do? Who was he to believe that he could do anything? I mean, look at his past. Look at his troubles. He was just getting to enjoy life, too, but he knew that he could not sit idle, and so he started an orphanage in South Sudan. He did, and he began to minister to those kids. And then more than once, Sam Childers took up arms, and he actually fought the LRA, who were in running gun battles, and rescued kids from being trafficked or turned into mindless child soldiers. He was strong, he was charismatic, but he wasn't perfect, and he even wrestled with his own faith sometimes. And he stretched the boundaries of what his family could even stand. And looking back now, he says he does have some regrets to this day about some of the ways he pursued his calling, but he's worked through those. And to this day, he still has hundreds of children in Sudan, Uganda, and Ethiopia who are in the care of his organization, which is called the Angels of East Africa. You look up Sam Childers. It's a story, man. Can you think about anybody who was less qualified to do something? And there are those, by the way, who questioned his methods. He was too rough, they said. He was too coarse, they said. And here's what he said in response. He asked somebody one time, he said, if a madman came in and abducted your child and I said to you, I can bring your child home, would it matter how I brought them home? And the answer was no. In 2011, the reason why I became familiar with Sam Childers, actor Gerard Butler starred in a movie called The Machine Gun Preacher. It was about the life of Sam Childers. Books and TV shows have been dedicated to his remarkable story, and in 2013, Sam Childers received the Mother Teresa Award for Social Justice. A former outlaw biker with a rap sheet as long as your arm now saves lost children by the score, and he's given an award that's named after Mother Teresa. Don't tell me you can't do something. Don't tell me that your life somehow disqualifies you from being effective. It's just not true. If Sam Childers can do things no one thought possible, if Sam Childers can make a difference in the lives of others, then I'd say anybody can. But still, maybe you've got this overwhelming sense of inadequacy that somehow you don't measure up. And I get that. I understand it. I even relate to it. But it's still not true. Keep in mind that the greatest names in history had their own moments. George Washington had times when he doubted he could ever win the war. Audie Murphy, he was told he was too small for the Army, and he went on to win the Medal of Honor. Football great Rocky Blyer, he suffered massive injuries in Vietnam, was told he would never play football again, but he came back and went on to become a four-time Super Bowl champion. In Scripture, even Moses, when he stood in front of the burning bush and he heard the voice of God calling him to lead his people out of Egypt, the first thing he said is, "Who am I that you would send me?" But Moses followed up also by telling God he wasn't even a good speaker, that his words would get tangled up. But in the end, look what Moses did, in spite of his initial feelings of not being qualified. We know where his strength came from, too. What I know is this. We are coming into a crucial year. 2025 is a year in which we need all hands on deck. Our culture is at risk. Our nation is floundering in many ways, and we cannot wait. There's a need for real and positive action right now, and we need every single one of us in the fray. And you may look at yourself and think that you're somehow not qualified, or that your background holds you back. Nah. Look at the machine gun preacher. Try to tell me that again. So get off the couch and get in the fray. You find your purpose, and when you do, you'll never get worn out. I mean, you'll get tired, but you'll never get worn out. Because the first person who finds their purpose and puts their hands to it, that's a person who sleeps at night. That's a person who makes a difference, even if it's only a little bit at a time. So yeah, Machine Gun Preacher, check it out. It's a great story. But what it tells me is to tell you, get in the fight. 2025 is coming, and we have a country to take back. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way. Yeah, there you have it. Machine Gun Preacher, the movie, was starring Gerard Butler. Great, great, great flick. I loved it. But it's also a true story. Every bit of it's a true story. And the very idea that he would go to Africa, take up arms, and go rescue kids from this African warlord. I mean, it's a compelling tale. And it's a no-holds-barred tale. And oh, by the way, it's a tale of somebody who didn't think he could do anything, and he did everything. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. I mean, just wow. Several text messages. Text lines are open, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Text it or call it, same number for both. A bunch of y'all are watching online right now. If you're not on our radio stations, then you know you can always watch us online, and we're on Rumble, we're on YouTube, we got two locations on X where you can go watch us, and you're also got the website, rightsidemedia.org. Go check it all out. And before I go any further, I gotta remind you guys, so Stan McDonald, a partner at the law firm of Wilmer and Lee, he's the sponsor of the Daily Right Side Way monologue, as you heard a moment ago. And so Stan McDonald, I know him personally, I think the world of him, I can't recommend him enough. He's a 30-year veteran in the practice of law, and he's not only an advocate who will fight for your legal needs, but he's an absolute warrior for things that all the Right Side Ruffian community believes in. And so he's been out there in the fray for a while. Anyway, attorney Stan McDonald, he's represented his clients in like thousands of real estate transactions in front of federal, state, and local courts. He knows how to defend you. And oh, by the way, if he's on your side, you'll have no greater friend, and likewise, your adversary will have no greater foe. So attorney Stan McDonald, the law firm of Wilmer and Lee. Stan McDonald, here's his phone number. You ready? His number is 256-479-3020. That's Stan McDonald at the law firm of Wilmer and Lee, 256-479-3020. And then I got to do the thing. You ready? Here's the thing. No representation made. The quality legal service performance greater than quality legal service performed by other lawyers. Ta-da.
I didn't even get the stopwatch out of
time. It's not even worth doing. It's going to be roughly 2.3 seconds there every time. All right, text line. Let's see what we got going on here so far. Bordeaux from Harvest says, just watched the Director Ray live resigning. Yeah. Said he loved the FBI and the people who worked there. That's all I can say about that. I'm looking forward to Cash Patel, probably for the same reason as you. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed I am. I say bring it. Bring the heat.
Also, would him be resigning have a sign, like be a sign that Cash Patel's more than likely going to get passed? Like, I feel like he wouldn't be resigning if that wasn't the case.
No, I don't think so. He can resign. They can always appoint his deputy as an acting.
Like, he probably knows he's going to get replaced either way.
He knows it right now that the incoming president has already chosen not to keep him. And he knows he's lost the confidence of the guy that would be his boss.
That's true.
So, and there's been enough said about him by the people who would be in the other cabinet positions and all that he's probably realizes he would be persona non grata.
Yeah.
He won't get invited to the White House Christmas dinner.
Probably not.
Probably not. Jeremy from Madison said, awesome monologue. Bravo. Thank you, Jeremy. Appreciate you. Handyman from Caddo, Alabama says, I heard someone once say that God doesn't always call the qualified, but he'll always qualify the called. Wow. Put that on a bumper sticker, man. That's good stuff. Jeff from Indiana says, Phil, who would have ever thought that my purpose in life would be to go up and down the road fighting traffic in Nashville and bringing levity to a conservative audience in Alabama? It's true, man. It is. I've got family members. You and I were talking. Yes.
Yeah. My grandma the other day, that's like the first thing she said was, man, I love when he talks to that truck driver.
That truck driver calls in.
We've had callers before, before they come on. The first time caller, like a month or so ago, said, man, I love when he talks to that Jeff from Indiana. They get a kick out of it.
That's good stuff. John from Huntsville says, Phil, spectacular monologue. And then he wants to talk about restaurants. John? I'm not going to start advertising every restaurant, although I do advertise Bucky's a lot.
Yeah.
But Bucky's is not a restaurant or a gas station. Bucky's is a phenomenon.
Yeah, Bucky's is Bucky's. It's
Bucky's
its own thing.
Bucky's is like a thing of its own.
It's its own genre.
That's exactly right. It's a geographic entity of its own. All right, listen. Plenty more on tap. We're going to come right back, and we're going to dive right into illegal idiocy. Illegal idiocy. It's like cacistocracy and jackassery all wrapped into one. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. Don't argue with me. I mean it when I say it. I'm talking about Alabama. Y'all, I mean, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. All right, by the way, I got to remind you guys, the multiple ways you can catch the show also includes the fact that we have podcasts that are available, so don't forget those. We've really ramped up our game. There are now, aside from the fact that we podcast The Daily Show for Right Side Radio, that's just one aspect of the overall Right Side Media package. So we got the written word that gets published all over the region. It went out yesterday, and I know 1819's already run it, and others are going to start running it soon. I think Trustful ran it today. Anyway, the bottom line is we got the written word, we got the radio show, we got the podcast version of the radio show, and then, oh, by the way, we have four separate audio video podcasts that are part of the lineup with different contributors. Great stuff. So check it all out at rightsidemedia.org. So let me jump on in here. Illegal idiocy. All right, any of y'all Right Side ruffians out there who've been around Right Side Radio a bit, you know that we got a little bit of our own lexicon. We got our own glossary. We got some words that we use, and all the ruffians know what they mean. Like, there's cacistocracy. A cacistocracy is a real word. K-A-K-I-S-T-O-C-R-A-C-Y. A cacistocracy. I see you nodding your head. You're impressed that I did that.
Yeah, I am.
I'm actually impressed that I did that. I was really picturing it in my head thinking, oh, God, I just committed to spelling this word out. But anyway, cacistocracy is a word that literally means a government run by the least competent of its citizens. That sound familiar? And then there's jackassery, which we just use here on this show to basically mean just really ridiculous, asinine decisions that are made by people in elected office or official capacities. Jackassery. And then there's times when you watch the cacistocracy make some jackassery decisions when it's related to one particular topic, like illegal immigrants, and all of a sudden you got illegal idiocy. So right now, I got the Kakistocracy messing with the Jackassery, and they're performing a number of layers of illegal idiocy. And I don't know how to package that any further than that, but that's where we are.
A whole lot of issies.
Yeah. When you got that many issies on there, something's going on. But how about this? Let's talk about what I'm saying. There's a number of things that are happening right now in the realm of illegal immigration that you look at and go, wait a minute. My head's exploding. How does that even happen? Well, I'll start with this. I've got a story here from the Daily Fetched. Dateline yesterday. No, 2 days ago. Democrats demand that Biden get as many migrants into the country as possible before the Trump inauguration. Hello. Have they not read the room? Have they not? Really? So here's the thing. This is not just like some city council somewhere in the backside of, you know, Egypt. Democrats, according to the Daily Fetched, Democrats are lobbying President Joe Biden to get as many illegal migrants into the United States as possible before President Donald Trump enters the White House in January. U.S. Senators Catherine Cortez Masto, Democrat from Nevada, Senator Ben Ray Lujan, Democrat, North New Mexico, and Alex Padilla, Democrat, California, they demanded that Biden bring in large groups of illegal aliens and give them immigration benefits before he leaves office. They're asking also, by the way, to allow hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens who are currently enrolled in the DACA problem. Remember DACA, the Dreamers? The Dreamers. Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, DACA, to extend their status for a maximum length of time. In other words, get it all done. Hurry. Just so you know, by the way, our own Attorney General Steve Marshall here in Alabama, he has challenged the very idea that the executive branch can just arbitrarily set new immigration law without congressional approval. But they've also requested, by the way, that Biden extend and redesignate several countries for temporary protected status. What does that mean? That means when someone gets here, we can't send them back because it's scary back there. You know, we got to be the people who take every. Listen, the bottom line is this. That kind of illegal idiocy, I mean, it's a clear indication they have not read the room. Oh, by the way, half of what they just said would be changed on day one. So do you really want to start that ball rolling even faster than what it already is? And I guess the short answer is yes, they do. But it never seems to end. I mean, how many we've heard now, what? Maine, Colorado, Denver, Colorado, Chicago. I'll tell you what. In fact, Chicago. Tom Homan was in Chicago this morning, and I don't have the audio clip right now. We might need to find this one, but Tom Homan was in Chicago this morning, and he flat told a crowd of people in Chicago who loved hearing him say it. He said, your mayor is standing in the way, and he needs to get out of the way. And he said, and if he harbors an illegal, I will prosecute him. That was Tom Homan basically telling the mayor of Chicago, I got you. Don't you do it.
I was surprised by the applause he got. And we have that clip if you want to play it. But yeah.
Do you really?
Yeah.
You got it handy right now?
Mm-hmm.
You're the man. Has anybody else noticed that JP's the man? Okay. If you got it, go ahead and play it.
It impedes us. If he knowingly harbors and conceals an illegal alien, I will prosecute him.
Yes!
Yeah. And while Homan says there are no plans for family separation.
You can stop it there. Yeah, that was I heard another version of that had a much clearer audio. That was probably somebody doing a man in the crowd kind of recording. But
and they didn't get the part where he goes, "Your mayor sucks."
Your
governor sucks.
He said, "Your mayor and your governor." He said, "The reason you got problems is because your mayor and your governor suck." I was driving down the road. I actually laughed out loud when I heard it. But let's talk about what happened in San Diego. First of all, I love San Diego. If you've ever been there, I did some TDY out there at Coronado, at the where the SEALs do their training, and Coronado. I mean, listen, San Diego is a gorgeous city. There's everything going for it except its leadership. So, in case you're not aware, the City Council of San Diego yesterday decided in an almost unanimous, only one person said no, in an almost unanimous vote to make themselves what they call a super sanctuary city. What does that mean? A super sanctuary city saying that they will forbid the police, not just not cooperate, but forbid the police to communicate with federal authorities on immigration. They will not allow, they said, any federal immigration agency like ICE or CBP or the FBI or whoever to use any municipal buildings for the purposes of interviewing someone. In other words, they can't come in the jails and check someone's status. And they refuse to allow any assets to be given to assisting on the question of illegal immigration. They call themselves a super sanctuary city. One councilman held out on that and said, what we're going to do is drive up crime. And I think you got that clip right now. And I want to play that one for you because this is illegal idiocy. And I'm glad that at least one person spoke up. Go ahead.
I think this policy goes beyond California's existing sanctuary laws by adding an additional layer of bureaucracy that hinders local law enforcement from directly notifying ICE about illegal immigrants who are currently in our jails.
In our jails.
And they have committed heinous crimes, including child abuse or endangerment, driving under the influence of alcohol or drugs, but only if this conviction is for a felony, possession of an unlawful deadly weapon, gang-related offenses, a crime resulting in death or involving personal affliction or great bodily injury, possession or use of a firearm in the commission of an offense, torture, rape, and kidnapping. That's the population we're talking about. So under this policy, and if a legal immigrant commits one of these serious crimes, San Diego County would be legally prohibited from directly coordinating with ICE.
Hang on, stop right there. Just hold on. I'm going to come back to it. I want you to understand what you're hearing right there. You guys are hearing a city councilman who is rebuking the rest of his council, saying, are you aware of what you're doing? And they're not even talking about the dreamers, the people who came here looking for a better life. They're talking about criminals who are in their jails committing heinous crimes on the streets of San Diego, and that's who they want to protect. Keep playing it.
This effectively protects the offenders from deportation, allowing them to remain in our communities where they could cause that same harm again. And this isn't just theoretical. We have seen the devastating consequences of such policies across the nation. Barbie Larson was brutally murdered in her own home by an illegal alien gang member with a history of drug possession and burglary. He was released because of sanctuary laws. Kate Steinle was senselessly shot and killed on a San Francisco pier by an illegal immigrant with a long history of violent crime. Just months ago, I sat next to Patty Morin, a mother whose life was shattered when her daughter was raped, murdered by an illegal immigrant. Her heartbreaking testimony is something I'll never forget. A reminder that these tragedies are not statistics. They are human lives forever altered.
Stop there a second. Man, I'm so glad he's saying all this. Because what he's doing is he's not letting them get away with their pie in the sky, illegal idiocy of we're here to help the people and the poor and the downtrodden. That's not who they're helping. What they're doing is they are literally saying all those crimes that he's reciting and more that he's not even getting to, all those crimes, we don't care. We don't care about that. We just care about get Trump. And that's what they want to do. They cannot. I guarantee you that if Joe Biden was still in office 6 months from now, and he said, hey, by the way, we're going to change everything. I am all for securing the border, and we're going to start deporting people. They go, oh, okay. Whew, we're glad you woke up and helped us with it. No, but it's got Trump in office. Guess what? This weird Trump derangement syndrome is turning into illegal idiocy when you've got an entire council of a major metropolitan city in California where we have military bases and everything else, and they're dealing with this. Let's see what else he says.
And these tragedies are preventable, but sanctuary laws allow them to happen by allowing illegal criminals back into our communities instead of into the hands of ICE. San Diego County is already spending $5 million annually of taxpayer money to provide legal counsel for illegal immigrants facing deportation, no matter what the reason is that they're being deported. This proposed legislation to me seeks to prioritize the interest of illegal criminal immigrants over the safety of law-abiding immigrants and citizens. I don't think we can continue down this path.
All right, sanctuary. That is absolutely, that guy's a hero. I mean, that guy's a city councilman who gets it. He is not yielding to the illegal idiocy on the rest of that council. And I look at it and think, what in the world was the rest of that council thinking? And when he recites all that to him, you would think that at some point somebody on that council would go, you know what, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to call for the vote again, or having voted on the prevailing side, I'd like to change my vote. There's a way to do it. No. They kept it up and they passed it. And I got news. I'll take heart on this too. Not only was there one councilman who was willing to not only vote no, but he spoke out. Good on him. I hope he gets a book deal out of that one. But the other thing is that the sheriff of the county, I think it's a female sheriff actually, she came out and said, we will not be enforcing that resolution. She said that she has no authority. She said she has no authority nor no intention, I believe, to bind federal law enforcement away from the prisoners that they need to interview in her jail, period. Good for her. Listen, we got more on this, but illegal idiocy is running rampant. When we get back, I'll tell you what our own attorney general just did to stop something I didn't even know was happening. My gosh. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, a bunch of y'all are watching online. We appreciate it very much. If you are watching on one of our platforms like YouTube or we're at Send Phil Williams, my personal account, or at @Right_Side_Media. Both of those are on X. And then we have Rumble. And then we have Twitch. And then we got just watching it through our website. If you're on one of the platforms that has a subscribe or a follow, we would really appreciate you doing that. We are right now, this company is in growth mode, and we have some exciting announcements to come pretty soon, but we just want you to know that every one of those platforms, they have these thresholds you have to meet to be able to do more. And so, like all of y'all watching on YouTube right now, if you haven't already done it, it would mean the world to us if you would just click subscribe. All it'll do is alert you when we got something going on, but it really helps us as a company because, I mean, you guys, we've added a couple of hundred followers in the last, 2 weeks, I guess. Subscribers.
Yeah, we hit 800 overnight, by the way. So shout out to everyone who helped us get there.
Sweet.
Onward to 1,000.
Yeah, our goal is 1,000 subscribers because that's a threshold that YouTube requires for you to be able to have expanded capabilities. So anyway, please do. Hey, so back on this illegal idiocy stuff. Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall has been fighting the good cause on the illegal immigration front for quite a while. He recently led the charge with 18 other state attorneys general in suing the federal government to stop a proposed rule from going into effect. Get this. The Biden administration was proposing a rule that would have made approximately 200,000 DACA recipients eligible for Obamacare. Guess who pays for that? Yeah, there ain't no free lunch. In fact, we're the ones making the sandwich. I'm telling you right now, it's coming out of our pocket. The group, so basically a little over 3 months after it all went into effect, the court case is being litigated. The proposal has been blocked from the Biden administration being able to implement it. But it was being argued that a 1996 law currently in effect prohibits illegal aliens from receiving these federal benefits. And the Affordable Care Act says that an alien has to be lawfully present. So this is how brazen the illegal idiocy has been from the Biden administration. We don't care what the law says. We're just going to do it. Write the check. And that's the way life has been for the last 4 years. But if you think for a second that these are not enticements, and then before I get into the actual enticements list that I've got that you can find all over the place as these sanctuaries do stuff, how about this? How brazen have they become? I've got an article here that I pulled up from fairus.org. So if you're not familiar with FAIR, F-A-I-R, it's the Foundation for American Immigration Reform. Great resource. So fairus.org has a piece that came out yesterday or day before. Illegal aliens and their open borders advocates swarmed California's state capitol last week in a massive rally. Hang on. Back up. Did we just hear that right? Yes, you did. Illegal aliens themselves, because they have no fear of reprisal, because they have no fear of anybody doing anything to them, they are willing to demonstrate and rally inside the California Capitol. They are. They're walking around basically saying, hey, I'm here illegally and I'm for this thing. What were they there for? They were making demands. Oh, really? Yes, they were. Them and their other open borders advocates, like groups like Dignity, Not Detention, and Freedom for Immigrants. Yeah. One group calls itself ICE Out of California. Okay. They had three demands. They wanted Governor Gavin Newsom to pardon illegal aliens with criminal convictions so they couldn't be more eligible for deportation. Let me get this straight. We're going to put Daniel Penny on trial for a year and a half, make him have to fight for his legal life for being a good Samaritan in New York City. But we're going to ask, Governor, please pardon all illegal aliens who have criminal convictions, no matter what they are, because that might mean they get deported. Why do you want to keep them? Why do you want to keep them? I mean, could you at least say, we're for the quality people who came here for a better life? Could you at least do that? I mean, how ridiculous is it that illegal aliens are rallying in our state capitals and demanding that the governor of the state pardon criminal convictions of illegal aliens so they can avoid deportation because they are actually here illegally? That and refrain from leasing or selling land that could be used for detention facilities. Oh, that and, oh, by the way, using any tax dollars to aid federal deportation. My gosh, the illegal idiocy, folks, it just keeps ramping up. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on Hump Day. This show's flying by already. I got somebody who held on the line through the whole break, so let me honor his time and get on it. Robert from Athens, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Phil.
Good, good, good. What's on your mind, Robert?
Well, I heard you talking about California, and I had to come back.
Yeah. What you got?
Okay. Chula Vista, Coronado, yep. San Diego,
yeah.
North California. And my family, extended family, was always in the military. I didn't get the chance, so I was lucky. And I am sliding down the hill towards 70. But these people don't understand what the president can do. These states, they're just not right. They're not right because I'm pretty sure the president can shut down any part of the country he wants if he has to.
Yeah, well, not likely to shut it down, but at the very least, he has a right to begin enforcing federal law. If they're not going to enforce it themselves, then the president has to decide whether he's going to take matters, you know, to a more drastic level. And if you remember the riots that were in Portland and in Seattle during the 2020 Summer of Love, it was federal forces that were guarding the federal courthouse.
That's right. It was federal, and he's got control of the federal grounds anywhere.
He does, and I think
I could
what you
be
would,
wrong, what's but that? You know, I'm not a constitutional lawyer or anything, but I'm pretty sure he's got a commerce and anything else he needs if he has to have it.
And I think you're going to see that. I think you're going to wind up seeing some federal funds dry up for places that decide they're going to be sanctuary cities and not enforce federal law. I think you're also going to wind up seeing the enforcement just in general, like with Tom Homan saying, "I'll come in and make arrests, and you're not going to be able to stop me." It's going
to
be interesting.
He needs to.
Yeah, he does need to. Absolutely does. And that San Diego City Council needs to get their act together. I mean, the very idea that they're prepared to protect criminals is to me just antithetical. It's illegal idiocy. That's what we're on right now.
I know it. It's not the California we know.
No, and I used to live there too, and it's a beautiful state. It's got so much going for it, and it's got so much going against it all at the same time. Hey, Robert, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you. Let me jump into a couple more things to wrap this topic. And I'll tell you, In fact, how far did I get in the Steve Marshall thing? Did I finish talking about the fact that what he was trying to stop was the Dreamers getting Obamacare? I did say that, right?
You mentioned it, but you didn't. I don't think you wrapped up your thoughts on it.
Yeah. So the bottom line is this: Steve Marshall even said not only would subsidized health care be another incentive for illegal immigration, but the agency threatened to cut funding that states also use to run their own exchanges for law-abiding citizens, meaning what they would say is, well, you know, we got to take care of these illegal people, so we're going to give you less to take care of your legal citizens. That is actually illegal idiocy. You look at it and you think, this is so far from what makes sense. It's like we're at the Mad Hatter's Tea Party. It's like we're just sipping tea with the Mad Hatter right now. I'm so glad that we are seeing January 20th right around the corner right now. And we were literally just like, 40 days, 39 days away from Trump being inaugurated. We can be done with some of this, but don't think it's going to happen overnight. I think he will make sweeping changes on day one. I think he'll keep that promise, but we'll see how much we can actually get in done. And listen, people in Chicago, people in San Diego, you got to quit voting for these idiots. You got to quit putting them in office. San Diego, I recognize the fact that San Diego is a city on what we call the left coast. But you know what? San Diego is filled up with patriots. For God's sake, that's where Naval Air Station Coronado is. That's where was it North Island? That's where you have Coronado, where they train Navy SEALs and the special boat teams. I mean, that's the headquarters for Naval Special Warfare. This is not a bastion of liberalism in every sense. There are good people there that vote.
And it's gorgeous.
Yeah. And the weather.
It makes me upset whenever cities like this in San Francisco that are like beautiful cities, they get taken over by liberal idiots.
Yeah, suddenly you don't even want a vacation there.
Exactly,
anymore.
Yeah.
President-elect Trump, he said that he did an interview this past weekend with Kristen Welker, which is interesting because he put her in her place several times. She's the one who was so incredibly partisan during the debate. But he said that on day one, he intends to also end birthright citizenship. Think about that. Birthright citizenship. So we have millions and millions of illegals streaming across our borders. If any of them have a child, which you can imagine that hundreds of thousands have, if you've got millions and millions of people, you can imagine that hundreds of thousands very likely are having children. They're U.S. citizens because they're here. That's got to stop. And it's arguably something that can be stopped. I've got a piece from Fox News, but I also see I've got somebody on the line. What time have I got? I got time. Let me I'll get to that phone call in 1 minute. Heritage Foundation story here on Fox News came out in June of this year. And the title of it is Illegal Immigrants Are Offered an Array of Taxpayer-Funded Benefits, Enticing More of Them to Come, calling it a pull factor. It's a pull, P-U-L-L. It's a pull factor. And yes, it is. Why do you think they put like cheese on a mousetrap? To lure the mouse in, right? And this is not necessarily a entrapment, but what I'm saying is when you provide the bait, yes, they will come. If there's no bait on the hook, you don't get no fish. If there's no enticements, if there's no sanctuary cities, we're not flooded with illegals. But when they arrive at the border, migrants who do not evade Border Patrol agents are taken into custody and processed, and they immediately get entered into a backlog system, which currently has 3.6 million cases backlogged, which means they're not supposed to be able to work legally for at least 6 months after they filed a claim for asylum, which then Heritage Foundation points out, but then they start getting benefits. They get free food. They get NGOs giving them money cards. They get released into hotels that are, according to the Department of Homeland Security, is providing $640 million, $640 million to non-federal entities to provide shelter. In other words, they're getting free housing. They're getting free money. They're getting free phones, a lot of them. They're getting free medical care. Why would they go back? I can see why they came. The border's open and the stuff's free. Why would you not? This is illegal idiocy and it's got to stop. Mike from Huntsville's on line one. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Hey, Phil. How are you, brother?
I'm good, man. What's going on?
Hey, let's just do like the Democrats do in other countries, and let's just have a regime change in these sanctuary cities, and let's just take the mayor, city councilman out, and let's just put the Venezuelan gang members in and see how long they want those to be sanctuary cities.
So you're talking about like a local coup?
Yeah, local coup on each one of them. Just let the Venezuelan gang members become mayor, city council. See how they run it.
So we'll just say, hey, Trinidad Aragua, San Diego's yours. We'll come back in a year and see how things are.
Exactly, yeah.
Wow. Dude, that's okay, that's radical. I would suggest you not put that on your social media.
I'm not going to. I'm not.
Oh, all right, Mike. Appreciate the call, man. What?
How could they be any worse, though, Phil?
Well, you know what? You look at it and think, my gosh, I don't know. I mean, right now, was it Boulder, Colorado, or Denver? Which one was it that was already seeing whole apartment complexes being taken over by Venezuelan gangs?
Aurora, Colorado.
Aurora, Colorado. That's right. It was. All right, man. Take care. Thanks for the call.
All right. Thank you, brother.
All right. Listen, here's the bottom line. I'll wrap this one now. Illegal idiocy. A cacistocracy? Well, that's a government run by the least competent of its citizens. Jackassery? That's an absolutely asinine decision made by someone in an official capacity that we all have to deal with. And then you got illegal idiocy, which is really a combination of the two. Illegal idiocy. I mean, the very idea, we're going to be a super sanctuary city. It's going to be awesome, and we won't help anybody, and we'll protect criminals. That's great. Oh, by the way, we're going to give them free stuff, lots of free stuff. Oh, lots of free stuff. But we have to cut the free stuff that we give to our citizens. Oh, well, that's okay. We'll be all right. We'll do it that way. I mean, listen. Hey, you didn't ever find a clip about Chicago? Oh, you did. You played that for me earlier. That's right.
If you want me to find an even better one, I can.
I you know what's funny is the Chicago mayor, who's getting berated by his own people, he came out and defended what he's doing and talked about why he needs to raise taxes so he can do more for illegals. Just saying. I mean, you got in San Diego and in New York and in Chicago, and you could name a number of others, there are citizens now who won't go to the local parks. They can't. There are citizens now who aren't getting services they used to get. There's beautification efforts that should be allowed for quality of life because that was part of the funding that are being pulled back on. And you look at all of this and you think, it's a self-inflicted wound, man.
Yep. And another beautiful city that has so much potential in Chicago. But it's just crazy to me. Like, Chicago is nowhere even near the southern border. I mean, it's closer to the northern border. But, like, the fact that this is an issue to where they're getting them to Chicago, it shows that the leadership in cities like the sanctuary cities, they will do whatever it takes to, you know, you'll take them? All right, go ahead. We'll get them to you, you know. It's annoying. It's very annoying. That cities like with so much potential are being run into the ground.
Illegal idiocy.
And not everybody there supports it. I mean, you saw how many people cheered when Tom Homan said that.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not like all of Chicago or San Diego or San Francisco is like that. So now they got to suffer through it. It's annoying.
If Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson was led out in a perp walk by Tom Homan, there would be a crowd of people cheering as he went out the door.
Yeah, there would be.
Take me to a break, brother. We'll take a break right now. We'll come right back, and I'll get caught up on some of y'all's text messages because you guys are some texting machines. Add to the fray, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Pulling pins on truth grenades. Giving you all the truth you can slap on a bumper sticker. There you go. All the stuff. I got a bunch of text messages. Got to catch up on some. So let me see what we got here.
By the way, Mike from ARAP's asking what your X account is, if you want to remind him. Remind everybody.
On the text line?
Mm-hmm.
Mike from ARAP is asking. Oh, he's asking. Oh, you said my text. Okay, gotcha. Mm-hmm. So Mike from ARAP, thank you very much. My personal text, X account, Twitter, is @sen, that's S-E-N, @sen Phil Williams. You can find me there. And then Right Side Media is rightside_media. Missy from Falkville says, hey, Brother Phil, the left says the birthright of citizenship is a settled conclusion. Then why didn't we always do it? It's a great point. I think because somewhere along the line, we used to have common sense, even when they were on the left side of the aisle. Republicans and Democrats still wanted what was best for the country. Now, a lot of Democrats is what was best for people who come to the country. Listen, it was a modern interpretation that allowed somebody to start this birthright thing, and I'm saying start hammering it right away. Get out there and say, no more. Make them challenge it in court. I don't care. Jeff Mendiana says, Phil, I think a lot of people in California have such a deranged mindset that they would drink the Kool-Aid even faster than the people in Jonestown for the dumbest cause. Sometimes I think, man, you are right.
Hey, but it became more red this year in the election, so.
You're right. They actually flipped 10 counties in California, flipped red.
It was one of the most, in terms of all the states to go more to the right. It was one of the, I don't think it was the most, but it was up there in terms of shifting more to the right. Obviously, when you have LA, it's not going to be red anytime
LA
soon.
LA and San Francisco.
But yeah. It's not all California. It's important to remind yourself of that.
And there are actually bastions of conservatism in California. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, especially in the northern parts. But if you look at the geographic map of counties and the look at the red-blue map of California, you're right. There's a lot more red now.
Yep.
It's just not all in the population centers.
Yeah.
Luann from Huntsville says, if you study how the communists came to power in many Eastern European countries, most times the, quote, leaders would open prisons to create loyal shock troops. Wow. Says San Diego is now on record saying they value institutional crime and the illegals are potentially given top cover. Where am I losing my train of thought here? Given top cover to usher in the new communism here in the U.S. Next comes using the shock troops to eliminate resistance like us. Wow. People of California, wake up. Interesting thought. You know, what's also interesting to me, too, on a slightly different take, Luann, is that historians say that one of the issues that caused the downfall of Rome was open borders and a mass migration that occurred across those borders, and they could no longer sustain things. Frank from Huntsville says that's why law-abiding citizens are fleeing California and other places by the thousands. You know what? You can go look at what's called the U-Haul Migration Report. It's crazy. U-Haul does a report every year, and they work to see which state had the most one-way trailer rentals. California has been leading the way the last few years.
Wait. I thought Gavin Newsom said that wasn't the case.
Oh, Gavin Newsom hasn't rented the U-Haul in who knows when.
Surely he didn't lie, right?
Oh, he wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
No, he's too busy doing his hair. we got a brand new texture on the line. That's Jeff from Madison. Jeff, we're glad you're there, man. Thanks for joining us. He says, Donald Trump, his president, his pronouns are my president, your president, his president, her president, their president, our president, everyone's president. Those are his pronouns. Mike from Arab says, Orange County, California. What do we got here? He sent me a meme.
He said they had 300,000 more votes than registered voters is what he's claiming.
Holy cow. I want to know if that's true. Danny from Madison says, hey, Colonel Danny here again. I was in San Diego at Coronado as well. Spent 22 years with various teams. When I first got to San Diego, it was great. So I thought, weather's perfect. That's where the greatness stops. I had to leave when Walmart started putting signs on the door saying, now accepting pesos. He said all the announcements in Walmart were in Spanish. I used to see stickers on cars from Baja California, which were the little Calvin character peeing on the U.S. People would get hit by one of those cars, and of course, there was no insurance. There was no recourse. Terrible. Man, that's a crying shame, Danny. By the way, thanks for your service. Thanks for serving with the teams. It's something's got to change. I've got some good friends who live here in Alabama now. Moved here from San Diego. He was Navy, and she was a civil servant working at the Naval Air Station. And I asked her, I said, what made you come to Alabama? She said two things, cost of living and freedom. There you have it. Jim from Huntsville says, hey, Phil, as much as I don't really like our Justice Department with the U.S. government with everything it did with Trump, I think they should just arrest anyone who doesn't allow them to interview illegals and find out their status and charge them with some sort of hindering or obstruction. I think it's coming. That's what Tom Homan's saying. Tom Homan is saying he will do just that. And then last text for the break, Ken from Rimlap says, Phil, I heard the news about 101.1 FM changes. I will look to listen to you on what other station in Birmingham that you're on. Go Army, beat Navy. And Ken, you can listen to us online streaming every day too. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you. All right, you guys. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, coming back with Adventures in Woke World. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. Don't argue with me. I mean it when I say it. It's Alabama, y'all. Alabama. And I mean to say this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, by the way, our radio footprint is changing, and we have some things in the works right now that we think we'll be able to announce pretty soon. But for right now, do know this. Our contract negotiations with 101.1 FM out of Birmingham just came to a point that we decided, you know what, it's time to do something different. So we will not be, as of the first of the year, in about 3 weeks, we will not be on 101.1 FM. If you're one of those who listens to us on that station live, then I just want to encourage you, please, go try one of our other avenues. You can get us on 92.5 out of Huntsville, 770 AM. All those are all available. But if you're outside of that signal, just know this, you can go online. And so I would encourage you this. If you're listening on 101.1 right now, do me the favor. Go check out our YouTube or our website, rightsidemedia.org. Just go check those out, see how easy it is. And if you're on one of those, subscribe. That way you can get to it real quick from now on. My wife listens to it on the internet every day anyway. That's how she gets it. So I just want to encourage you to know that we got a ton of listeners from all over the place who use that medium. Don't think that 101.1 being gone means you can't get Right Side Radio. You're still a ruffian. We need you. Let's do this. So sometimes those of y'all who may be new to Right Side Land, a bunch of new ruffians, you're not with the OG ruffians, but you're still a ruffian. You know, when I am resourcing the show early in the morning, getting things ready, pulling all my papers together, getting different articles to put the segments and the dippers together, sometimes I find them and I go, wow, that's woke. Oh, look at the wokeness. How much wokeness over there? Do you see all the wokeness over there? Look at all the how much wokeness can there be? And I find myself with what I would call a veritable plethora, a vast cornucopia, a smorgasbord, if you will, a buffet of wokeness, which means it's time to do another round of adventures in woke world.
Adventures in woke world.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to start. Sometimes we laugh. Sometimes we scream. Sometimes we want to throw our radio across the room. But it's all an adventure in woke world. Here's one, though, that's kind of funny. I love the irony. I love it when it comes back. I love when liberals are like, well, wait, but not for me. How about this? Woke Spy is a website that I use for part of my resourcing. WokeSpy.com. A story that came out yesterday. A San Francisco, California resident is now pleading to recover a stolen U-Haul truck that basically all of her stuff was in a 26-foot U-Haul and somebody stole it while her stuff was on it. That would be awful. And you're moving. All your stuff's gone. And she's freaking out on her Twitter platform, on an X. And she's saying, I need my blankety-blank stuff. And the police won't blankety-blank do anything. I need the police to do something. She's a defund the police activist.
Some memes just write themselves.
Ah, they do. I mean, for some reason, I keep picturing that overly used image of the liberal girl screaming on the street. You know what I'm talking
about?
Yes,
yeah.
And so it says, despite her predicament, the irony was not lost on social media users when a defund the police activist complains about the failure to recover her stolen property. And even the San Francisco Bay Area newspaper had something to say about it. So, yeah, the bottom line is 2 months ago, she was advocating to defund the police, saying we pay them a whole lot to do less, and was responding, you know, with anti-police campaigns and all that kind of stuff. And, yeah, now she needs them. How's that working out for you?
I think about John Kennedy, the senator from Louisiana. You see that ad he did about defund the police? Was like, well, if you're in trouble, call a crackhead. Maybe she should have called a crackhead. Said the
just
police.
Go call your crackhead. They'll find your truck. Probably the crackhead that stole the truck.
Yeah.
All right. So there's one that says fun. Now here's one I look at and I go, okay, this fits, especially when I consider that it's Time Magazine. So Time Magazine, that former, you know, denizen of the truth, that harbinger of all things that you need to know, Time Magazine. The one that when it sets the standard is then set. Well, I'm looking at my All Sides Media bias chart. I've been using this thing, man.
Keep it handy.
My All Sides Media bias chart in my hot little hands right here in the Right Side Radio studio. Time Magazine. Pray tell, where are they on the All Sides Media bias chart?
They're probably going to put them as left.
Left!
Yeah.
They're on the left. All right, so that means they're woke. All right, so here we go. Do you know who they're about to name as potentially like who made the short list for Person of the Year for 2024? Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
I have.
What did you see?
Oh, Kamala Harris.
Kamala Harris. They are looking at Time Magazine, struggling to stay relevant, according to the Populist Times. Dateline yesterday, has released its short list of finalists for the prestigious Person of the Year. A noted Republican, there is no noted Republican leaning on the list, which is to be expected. I mean, you don't have Donald Trump, you don't have Elon Musk, you don't have Joe Rogan. I take it back. They are considered potential for the list, but one surprising candidate is Kamala Harris. And then you ask yourself, pray tell, what did she do to earn this nomination? She's vice president. She was a loser candidate. She got run out of her original primary in 2020.
Yep.
Was picked then as a DEI candidate for VP.
Yep.
Did nothing as a VP. Oh, by the way, she was a faulty candidate for P. Well, here's what they write. The night of July 21st, President Joe Biden announced he was ending his presidential campaign and endorsed Vice President Kamala Harris for the Democrat nomination. What followed was a remarkable 107-day presidential campaign as Harris sought to become the first woman president. Harris centered her campaign on reproductive rights, slamming former President Donald Trump for his role in the U.S. Supreme Court decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. She lost to Trump and conceded the race. Along with Biden, she was previously Person of the Year. And the bottom line is this. It's a whole lot of words to describe, like, having no accomplishments.
They should nominate her for loser of the Year.
Did they have a category?
They should.
There should be.
She'd be at the top.
It's almost like a Darwin Award here. I mean, political suicide. How do you capitulate? How about this, Adventures in Woke World? Daily Wire. Dateline 2 days ago. Well, of course they are. A Southern California school district just paid a far-left transgender activist $12,000 for a six-hour training session on transgender inclusion.
wait, how much? Say that again?
Yeah. So what does that boil down to? $12,000 for 6 hours. $2,000 an hour? $2,000 an hour.
I might pick the wrong career.
I picked the wrong career. Why am I in radio and struggling to practice law? And I'm not struggling, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Why am I just billing my time to the tenth of a minute so that I can, you know, do what I do with honor and integrity? Why am I doing it when I could be a transgender far left activist just doing 6 hours and bam, $12,000?
That is absurd.
That is absurd. The contract was obtained by the Daily Wire. The activists administered the training on behalf of the organization called Trans Family Support Services, which was paid the five-figure sum by the San Dieguito Union High School District located in, San Diego County. Need I say more?
Nope.
You know, they are a super sanctuary city now. Not just sanctuary. They're a super sanctuary. Yeah. In just 6 hours, hashtag Team TFFS trained 1,100 staff members across the entire San Dieguito Union High School District. Working with school districts is more crucial now than ever, especially as anti-trans rhetoric continues to infiltrate classrooms. I got news. There's no anti-trans rhetoric infiltrating classrooms. It's just the opposite. We're constantly finding rainbow flags and you know, what do they call them? Chest binders in kids' hands. Anyway, it goes on to say that this is the same organization, by the way, that encourages children to identify as the opposite sex, provides them with binders and so-called packers. Through its gender junk program. They have a gender junk program.
Wow.
They give out gender junk.
That's...
We got lots of gender junk. They also, by the way, help kids who don't have affirming families by giving them what they need without telling the family they're giving them what they need.
Oh, that's good.
Always. All said and done, it's a pretty lucrative deal, apparently. Go to California and just tell them, hey, man, for $12,000, I'll be here and tell you some stuff for 6 hours. What do you want to do?
Maybe I should pull a Matt Walsh, go undercover and have people pay me to teach them about transgender stuff.
You'd have to wear the whole wig.
I would, and I would do it for $12,000.
Let's scheme on that. I could see this happening. I got a couple more stories, and I tell you what, I'll go ahead and dig into this one. This one is a hoot to me. So you know I'm a free market guy, right? And in woke world, they don't believe in the free market. No, that's silly. Why would you believe in the free market? Pray tell, what's the free market? You ask a lib, what's a free market? They'll go, where you get free stuff? No, that's not. The free market is not where the illegal aliens line up for their free stuff. No, the free market is when the market is free to operate. When you've got the ability to build the better mousetrap and know that if you invest in building the better mousetrap, that it will drive people to you, and the other competition will have to rise to your level of competition if they want to stay in the fight. The free market, that's how it operates. That's why we have, you know, smartphones when we used to have no phones. I mean, that's it grew over time. The non-free market is when the government gets in and picks winners and losers. And when the government sets the new standard and says, well, here's how we're going to do things from now on in order to favor somebody, like, you know, oh, I don't know, green energy companies that can't sustain themselves, so they have to have subsidies from the U.S. government to make it work. Well, Trump's new pick to run the Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC, has some people paying attention. They're a little concerned. Pray tell, why would that be? Well, he's known to be, quote-unquote, a free marketeer. Yes.
No.
This is where are we headed now. So the guy's name is Paul Atkins. Paul Atkins has been tapped by Trump to run the SEC. Trump called Atkins a proven leader for common sense regulations. He said he also believes in the promise of robust, innovative capital markets that are responsive to the needs of investors. Responsive to the needs of investors? Well, here's what's got people worried. The current SEC chair is an ESG guy, environmental social governance. This is the guy who has been promoting the idea that you get away from profitability, you get away from true free markets, and you say, hey, what can we do in the social justice realm? What can we do in terms of fighting conservative policies in state governments? What can we do? If your company will do those things, we'll rate you high and it'll be awesome. Except that your shareholders may have something to say about it.
Well, you know, capitalism, schmapitalism, who needs it?
So the ESG dive that the SEC went into may get rolled back. And it says in here, the one quote is, the ESG considerations are not material. They should not be a part of decision-making when defining fiduciary duties. You think? But here's the part that got me. In talking about him, he's described, like I said, as being a free marketeer, and here's the quote. Quote, his view, meaning the new Trump guy, his view would be that you focus on what's good for business to maximize returns in the short term and everything flows from that. Wait a minute. Wait. That you maximize what's good for business in order to maximize returns. Isn't that what business is supposed to be?
One would think.
Unless you're running a quote-unquote nonprofit entity, you're supposed to try and make a profit. How do you do that? You do what's good for the company because your investors kind of expect that. And if you don't, guess what? You can be sued. It's called a derivative action where the shareholders get to rise up and file suit because you're basically destroying the company to do things that make no sense. And yet, we got libs right now who are freaking... Woke world right now is worried. Well, is he going to actually like care about like the shareholders? Because... that doesn't seem fair. Woke world can't run the world. That's what's happening right now. You know it?
Yeah.
All right, man. Take me to a break. We'll take a break right now. We'll come right back. I got a little more woke world, and I got some text messages. You guys text it or call it. Same number for both. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, pulling pins on truth grenades. By the way, coming up top of the hour, don't forget Grand Counsel, Jeff Poor, Dale Jackson. We'll have them on, two of my brethren, in talk radio. We get together once a week and ping each other with questions on current events and see where the chips fall. Sometimes we agree, sometimes we don't. It's always kind of fun. We'll have the Grand Council just after the 4 o'clock break. Several text messages in the hopper, and I do have one more story I didn't get to in the woke world stuff. I got to tell you, this is one of those where it's like maddening. You look at it and go, okay, it's woke world, and sometimes woke world makes me mad. But I look at this one, I think, you know what? Parents, you should be outraged at this. Daily Signal story came out 2 days ago. Parents outraged as a Maine school clinic attempts to give confidential, quote-unquote, reproductive health care to kids. So a Maine high school is going to open a new health clinic. It's not like they're saying, here's a condom. It's more than that. They actually opened what they call a reproductive health care clinic in the school. It's basically it's a euphemism for transgender drugs and birth control. That's what it is. It's where we'll do all the things that help you to be more of a sexually active person. And oh, by the way, deal with your sexual questions and your sexuality and change your sex and whatever has to do with sex. It's all about sex. Maine School Administrative District 11. What a boring name. Maine School Administrative District 11. They have no imagination in Maine, apparently.
Except when it comes to what they put in the schools.
Well, there's that. is going to review the contract for how to put together a school-based health center that provides confidential, quote, mental health, reproductive health, and substance use care to minors who, quote, demonstrate decision-making capacity. How do you demonstrate decision-making capacity? High school kids, look, there's some sharp kids out there. There really are, and I know it. I used to do youth ministry and youth counseling full time, and there are some sharp kids out there, and there are some numbskulls. So who's the decision maker as to whether or not they demonstrate decision making capacity? And oh, by the way, they're still minors. They're minors under the law. So under the law, they can't make some decisions. Legally, they can't make them. They can't get a Costco card. They can't get a plane ticket. They can't enter into a contract. They can't vote. They can't drink. They can't even drive till they're 16 in most states. I'm just saying, who the heck is out there in Maine saying, we're going to say that a 16-year-old should have access to transgender hormone regimens without parental consent? But that's what the article points out. That's woke world, man. I'm telling you.
I don't think I'll ever quite understand the left's obsession with putting sex stuff in front of kids. It's just like, There's no middle ground for understanding there for me.
If there's a norm, a principle, a tradition, or a faith-based concern, they will attempt to tear it down. It almost doesn't matter. It's almost like Trump derangement syndrome. It doesn't matter what they're doing as long as it's anti-Trump.
Yep.
In this case, they look at it and go, it doesn't matter what we're doing as long as we're tearing down that norm or that principle or that faith-based belief.
Like the Prattville parade stuff.
Yeah, like why are you putting a gay pride parade in a Christmas parade? Why are you putting a drag queen float we're going to make it the gayest one ever. That's just, you know what? You're an awful individual who does nothing more than try to be inflammatory in the middle of a beautiful Christmas parade that celebrates the birth of Christ and the celebration of family. You know, and I'd love to say, you do you. Don't do you do you. Mm-hmm. Don't you go do you. You go do you somewhere else.
Do you in private.
Thank you very much.
Don't do it in public.
Let's get a few text messages before we go. What do we got in there? Let's see here. Brian from Huntsville says, Kamala can't take the job. She already got an NIL offer for laughing cow cheese. What?
That's funny.
That is funny. Marcus from Huntsville said, is it weird that you can't openly say on the radio what they're teaching our grade school children? Yeah, I know. I obviously have to hesitate sometimes to say what I say, but you're right. And yet they're teaching it to kids. What the heck? And then what do we got here? Harris from Athens says, from an OG right side ruffian, did you notice that Target shareholders are suing for the hit stocks have taken with the growth? I can't read that. It's like so many words in there. I can't get it all together. Yes. Target is getting nailed. You're right. All right. We're coming right back. Grand Counsel, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. All right, it's Wednesday. It's hump day at 4 p.m. And we've got a thing we like to do every single week where I bring in two of my brethren and talk radio and we ping each other with questions and to see where the chips fall. So let me call the roll real quick and get attendance. So from 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Cumulus Broadcasting out of Huntsville, host of the Dale Jackson Show. Oh, by the way, he also writes and does stuff with Yellowhammer News. Hey, Dale Jackson, are you there? You are, stand at ease. And then turning south, FM Talk 106.5 down yonder in Mobile. And oh, by the way, host of the Jeff Poor Show and the editor-in-chief of 1819 News, Jeff Poor, are you present?
I am present.
You are indeed. I pronounce a quorum. Hit it, man.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ba-da. Ba-da. All right, you know the deal, fellas. Questions, and I'm going Jeff first. What you got?
On Right Side Radio yesterday, yeah. Golly Gudger talking about his take on the Sundown Town sign. He also mentioned something about City of Coleman taking action against AL.com.
Yeah.
Should City of Coleman take action against one of our most esteemed media outlets in
Friggin'
Alabama?
Right they should. Now, here's the thing. There's a legal standard, though. I mean, it's libel. I mean, since this is the slander libel thing, libel is the published version. So when you publish something that you know is potentially defamatory with a reckless disregard for whether or not it was true, and it has the real clear image of hurting someone or something, yes, the problem they got is I don't know whether or not there's a real high bar when it comes to a public figure. And I don't know about actually, is there something about the city being a public figure? But I'll tell you right now, they've got no basis for doing this. There was no purpose. They were literally trying to slap at Coleman for no other reason except to slap at Coleman. I think the city needs to put a cease and desist and demand a retraction and then publish the fact that they demanded a retraction and see what happens. And that's where you start. You have to do that. Put them on notice first. Dale.
Yeah, my guess is they're not even going to respond to that. I don't think can the city be defamed? I mean, I've said a lot of bad things about Birmingham. Unfortunately, most of them are true. Alabama's true sundown town for everybody, not just for African Americans. But I just don't know what the goal here is, except to point out how terrible AL.com is, which is, I could just say, message received.
Well, here's the thing, and I don't know either. I mean, I question this, but I think that they have a right to demand a retraction. And literally, what you're looking at here, like you and I talk about Birmingham, all of us talk about Birmingham, Liberal Mayor Randall Woodfin, but we're talking about his policies, and we're not saying that he's breaking the law. What they're saying is that this is a racist community that posts signs that threaten members of the black community.
But what they actually said, and I hate to defend them because I'm not going to be happy about
doing
this.
Oh my gosh, he's stepping in to defend them now.
But let me just, what they said is, well, golly, guys, these other people are saying it. Look at this fruitcake from Birmingham. He said they ain't coming, y'all. I mean, they said, so yeah, that's what they said.
More lisp.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, there's three things I know for certain. One is true and two is not. I mean, yeah, I don't really can't do it. But the fact of the matter is they're just reporting the news, Senator.
Is it? And were they? I don't think so. I don't think this would qualify as news. I don't think this qualifies as a reprint with a sourcing. I think it's literally it's like rumor mongering. It was funny. It's like taking a locker room joke and pretending it's a news story. Your own question, Jeff. What are you thinking?
The federal government, state government sue private entities all the time.
Yep.
I mean, especially in antitrust cases. So they can. I would think that they could. The city of Coleman could sue AL.com. Would they win? Probably not. I mean, the First Amendment is a high standard, and you really got to show damages here. But secondly, I would say this, they absolutely should, because number one, you want to make them think twice about doing this kind of crap in the future, number one. And number two, it's about time our side started punching back at this crap.
I agree.
And I think this is just a way to show that you're standing up for the community.
Yeah, and listen, I part of my legal practice has been municipal law, and I have I still am the of counsel to a small town. I've worked with gas boards and water boards, and I've defended cities in legal actions, on behalf of their insurance company hiring to defend the suit. And so the municipal law has some nuances, but the truth of the matter is the municipality stands in the eyes of the law much like a business would, and they have a right to sue and be sued. And I think they absolutely need to step up, and I agree with you. Punch back. Got to. Well, that was like my question. You stole my question. So let me take it one step further in the same theme. So Gudger on my show said he's put another $1,000 on top of the $1,000 that Dale Jackson has already committed to the idea that if someone can show them the sign, like, where's this sign? And Dale, ain't nobody got a sign as far as I can tell.
Yeah, there's no sign. You can make it $100,000. The sign's still not going to appear. I mean, that's
well, if it's $100,000, I'll go out and make one.
Yeah. I mean, okay, this all we need is another story that says former State Senator Phil Williams writing the N-word on a sign and nailing it down on 65. Not a good idea. But I just don't think there was no sign. Look, there's been numerous articles. I'm sure you've heard about this.
Yeah.
1937. There was a book written about the history of Coleman, which I'm sure is an absolutely riveting read. And that book referred to it as an urban legend, not an urban legend, but a myth, essentially, at that point in time. And that was 90-something years ago. So, or 80 something years ago. So here we are dealing with this thing that has been declared a legend in 1937, and they're still talking about it like it was up in 2012. I mean, it's just, nobody believes any of this. Not the people writing it, not the people covering it, not the people saying it, not the people doing TikTok videos on it. Nobody believes it. There is no sign.
Jeff, weigh in on it, man. What do you think? Is anybody going to produce a sign?
No one's going to produce a sign because you're right. No one. It didn't exist, and but I can't believe how long this. Guys, I mean, like this myth, this discussion about this sign has been around. You know, since I was a kid, and people acted like, no, you don't want to go to Coleman. No. I mean, it was nothing of the sort. It's 2024. And they haven't put this completely to bed yet.
Now, and I think that's one of the reasons why, to go back to your previous question, I think they have to push back because they have to be able to say, that ain't us, and stop saying it is. And say that from an official capacity, not just, you know, just hope it goes away. I mean, freaking say something about it. All right, last question for the sets over here. Dale, what you got?
The Alabama Policy Institute is getting ready to put out their legislative agenda.
Yep.
Last year, they stopped gambling, and they got school choice, but Garland Gudger got elected as the Senate pro tem. He is against school choice and for gambling. So what happens there? Do those two issues come back up?
School choice is not going to come back up. I think it's locked. I think that they probably won't modify it. If somebody wants something else added to it, they probably won't get much of it. I mean, there's some talk right now about whether we can see something happen with sports, you know, to allow a little more freedom of competitive choice, they call it. But right now, I think that school choice is safe and it's not going to have much change. Gambling, I don't know, man. That's like the zombie legislation. It comes up every year to 2 years anyway. But I really hope not. I mean, I hope they don't waste their time, but I don't think it's going to. And I say that because this coming spring is when the election season starts. A lot of people think it's 2026, but it starts 1 year ahead of the primaries. And so I don't think a lot of our centrists, if you will, want to be on the record as having just voted and then all of a sudden drew a primary. Jeff?
Well, on school choice, absolutely not. That would be fool's errand, and you'd pay a price politically. Listen to me here on gambling, guys. All right. I think Greg Reed stepping out, they lose a yes vote for gambling. Matt Woods coming in, and when he finally does step out at the end of December, he won't come in at the earliest. He's the prohibitive front runner right now to fill that Senate seat in Jasper. Was a no vote in the House on gambling, would likely be a no vote in the Senate as well. He would not, however, come in until April. So they have a window here from the beginning of the session in February until April, whatever Matt Woods, likely senator, is sworn in. Now, stick with me here. Beyond that, I don't think they could get it done. And then you're like, well, what about the year after that? They don't usually do these things in the fourth year of a quadrennium. Okay, right. Let's put that aside. We'll have a new governor in 27. Would Will Ainsworth or Tommy Tuberville push a gambling bill as governor? I don't think so. I don't know. We could discuss that sometime, but let's assume that they wouldn't. It could be another decade before they get to gambling again. So watch this. That window from February to April, the powers that be are going to try to do something with gambling before that Reed seat is filled. They got to switch one vote. Right now, they will have lost a yes vote, but they don't gain a no vote. So it's not really that hard of a hurdle to overcome. But you add another no vote to it, it becomes much more difficult. I think they absolutely are going to try to do something early in the session.
So you think the Senate is where the real votes matter in terms of the fight? You think the House would already go with gambling?
Yes, I think Ledbetter will cram it through. He has no problem getting the votes. He has shown that time and time again. He will do what he may not get as many votes, but the Speaker is a gambling guy, and he will get it done in the House.
Well, there's no
it's
doubt.
It's all on the Senate.
I mean, he wants the Speaker wants a casino in his district so bad he can hardly stand it. But I look at it and think there's some folks out there in the House right now that are going to shy away from this because they saw what a bludgeoning it was last year, and they may not want to expend their political capital with on the question of what the Senate will do. The House always hates it when the Senate leaves them hanging.
But Senator, don't you know that the people just want the right to vote on a lottery, and that even if they're not for the lottery, they just want to vote on it? That's what my constituents are telling me. I just want to vote on it.
It's for the children. Don't you know it's for the children? That's what we always hear. It's always for the children. We're going to, and anyway, I don't – listen, man, I think there's a fight brewing, but I just don't know that they can get the fight off the ground this time. But anyway, we'll see. And by the way, we got to take a break. We ran long. Taking a break right now. That's round one, the Grand Council with Jeff Poore, Dale Jackson, just a little old me. Y'all stay tuned. We'll come back for an abbreviated round two. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just pulling pins on truth grenades. All right, so we're back to round two of the Grand Council with Jeff Poore, Dale Jackson. I think the order of march here was, Jeff Poore, you were first.
I want to go to election politics. 2026, is it still Ainsworth to lose? Do you bite the Tommy Tuberville for governor rumor mill? And is there any other third party that might sneak into this?
Yeah, Steve Marshall, I think, is going to be a third party potential. I say that because I just think there's too much stir there. He's termed out at AG, and I think he still likes being in the mix. So I would say it's Ainsworth still to lose, but if Tuberville throws in, the name ID is overly hard to overcome, and then it would be a money race, let me tell you, at that point, a huge money race. And then Steve Marshall would probably have to bow out, because how do you compete with that? But then Steve Marshall would be looking at, maybe I'll run for Senate since Tuberville's getting out. But I think that's those three names right there. But there's always going to be an outlier. There's going to be somebody who thinks that they should run. But I see those three right now as the top three names. Dale?
Tuberville is going to be enjoying himself in Washington, D.C. I don't think he's coming back. But what about the name Robert Bentley?
Have you heard something on this?
No, I'm just making it up.
Okay. That's how rumors get started. I don't think that can happen. I'm pretty sure his plea deal said, we'll never run for office again.
All right, fine. Don Siegelman.
I'm pretty sure his plea deal said never. Isn't that amazing? I mean, you look back, that Kay Ivey kept her good name, but she did it largely by staying out of the media spotlight once she took the governor's office. The only other person who really kept their name, so to speak, has been Bob Riley in the last, four or five? It's just been unbelievable.
And they don't even name a prison after him.
There you go. Jeff, your own question. What are you throwing in there?
No, I would watch Tuberville. I think that's a real thing. But Ainsworth's the guy right now. I'm not sure about Steve Marshall quite yet. Let me say this, too. A couple of names you need to watch. I think Rick Pate is definitely going to run the ag commissioner. And Kent Davis, the guy that was fired by Ivy, is starting to ask questions around. And maybe he takes a – not a necessarily contender.
Like,
but
a revenge tour.
Would take a shot at it.
That's interesting. Next question. I'll take it real quick. And this is like totally off the topics, but I'm seeing that the brand new Alabama State House is under construction, but it's already 5 to 6 months behind schedule. I know RSA is the one building it. However, RSA typically uses public funds in a sense. So is this going to be like another prison construction thing where it's going to get out of hand, or is it going to get online? So Dale, what'd you say?
Yes, and if we need to get anyone, let's get with state media Todd Stacey to find out exactly what's going on.
Well, that's where his office is. So,
not state media. No. Half state media, because the state's paying for half of his employees, and he's paying for the other half.
Just
my fault. Half state media.
Yes, let's make sure we clarify, because that's libelous, and we all know how that goes. But yeah. Jeff,
I know a lawyer.
Well, I don't believe that it's going to quite be a prison situation. You're not going to have it double in cost with RSA doing it. And that's essentially what's happened here with the prisons, with the Elmore County facility.
Yeah.
But can we stop worshiping at the altar of David Bronner?
He's the smartest man in Alabama.
He is.
Don't you know that?
He's one of the smartest men in America. Will you stop that now, Jeff Poore?
No, that's like...
He knew Trump.
He does.
Deep down, honestly, does anybody really like this guy?
He's
brilliant. Just say that they just say they like him.
He is invested so well. There's no reason in the world why anybody's really different, even though he's propped up every year by the legislature putting $1 billion into the retirement
fund. And there's a giant balloon payment that's going to hit us eventually.
Woo! I'm saying. But don't worry, he's solvent. Hey, we got about a minute left. You want to grab a question real quick, Dale?
Well, I mean, the question I was going to ask is similar to something we were talking about off the air. You have a bill being offered up by Statehagen. Yeah. He is going to say, hey, we're gonna ban grooming. And he's calling it grooming. I love that. They need to.
Yeah.
Will that pass this time? How many times do we have to do this?
I don't know, but that one and the porn filter on phones, that should have passed. That, I mean, actually, and there's no reason. It's like a no-brainer. It's not hard. Just do it.
But they have to keep presenting this bill until it passes.
I think they do too.
Then you make these guys answer for not getting it done. Okay, it's just like
I think it's political that you drag it out.
But well, I don't, maybe. But I'll tell you what though, Dale. You said something I think is real key here. Calling it grooming, you got to grab the message back because this like when they name it gender affirming care, it's ridiculous. Yep. This is grooming, and I got 10 seconds. So fellas. Appreciate both of you. Thank you so much. Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 and 1819 News. Dale Jackson from WVNN. Oh, by the way, Yellowhammer News. And just me doing the Grand Council every single week. Love that. All right. You guys stay tuned. We're going to come back. I got some stuff. We're going to talk about Assassin's Creed, and I don't mean the video game. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, I'm talking about the one I'm sitting in. It's Alabama, y'all. And I mean to say this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. I'm going to dump into Dipper number 3 here. I called it Assassin's Creed. I do not mean the video game, actually. That may have been a teaser. Maybe it's Assassin's Creed.
Great video game, though.
Great video game.
Very good video.
Yeah. I've never actually played it. I'm not a huge gamer, but like Birdman, that's one of his favorites.
It's a great one.
Yeah.
It's up there. And it's one of the few ones that I actually listen to the soundtrack in my playlist.
The soundtrack.
The yeah. It's great. It's
got its own soundtrack or
yeah.
is it? Okay.
They have set soundtracks that they made for each game. But yeah, I have some of those on my workout playlist, I'll admit.
We are so off topic right now. All right. So Assassin's Creed, what am I talking about? The crazy thing is this guy who assassinated the CEO of United Healthcare in New York City, he's become like a cult classic or a cult. There's a cult following for him right now. And I'm finding this to be just gross, to be honest. And I look at it and think, okay, what are y'all doing? I mean, the very idea that the left is beginning to idolize, I mean, there are women swooning over him. No kidding. You go out there and check it out. The left is swooning over it. Like I've got a piece right here. Steven Crowder, who has his podcast Louder with Crowder. He came out and said United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson's suspected assassin. His name is Luigi Mangione has been caught. And the left is so beholden to identity politics. They have no choice but to make us about race. And they are. But then he goes on to talk about the fact that people are suddenly throwing themselves at this guy who we now are fairly clear he assassinated a man and ended his life on the streets of New York City, a law-abiding citizen. It doesn't matter whether you like his job. He was a law-abiding citizen, a family man, and there is a wife and kids and friends and community that no longer have one of their own. And yet the left is jumping all in on this. In fact, there's a discussion on this. I prepared this segment last night, to be honest. I had to be out of the house early this morning, so I did a lot of my work last night late getting the show ready. And lo and behold, this morning, Fox News did a whole segment on this, and I had JP go and find a clip. They were discussing this at midday today. What show was that? Was that Harris Faulkner show?
This one was Outnumbered.
Outnumbered, yeah. That's the one that Harris Faulkner is one of the hosts on. So they were actually discussing this very thing about how people are beginning to like fall for this guy. Like, oh, look how good looking he is. Oh, he's a folk hero. Oh, play the clip.
I mean, Emily, it's not funny. That's not humor to me. This is a alleged murderer. And John Levine, he's from the New York Post. He put this, but this isn't far from the realm of possibility. I could see Luigi Mangione getting a sweetheart plea deal from Bragg, getting 5 years, walking in 18 months and hosting a show on MSNBC. By 2028.
Well, I think that's a reflection of that clown culture that we just talked about in the intro. It's a reflection of the horrible legacy and ruination of the criminal justice system by Alvin Bragg, and also a reflection of MSNBC that provides a platform for those extremist viewpoints. Look, if you are an employer, if you are a boss, if you are a teacher, if you are in charge of admissions anywhere in this country right now, check your employees, check your children, check the social media of anyone over which you have control of their employment, their education, their influence, to see if that they have participated in this, in the online.
Stop it right there. What they're talking about is that Jimmy Kimmel made a whole comedy segment out of this last night. Jimmy Kimmel made a whole comedy segment, said that he'd been checking the young ladies who work in his studio and that they are swooning over the guy. Like, oh, I need him so much, like right now. Oh my gosh. And they're just there. And y'all, this is gross. Now, Piers Morgan, British journalist Piers Morgan, he has his own show, and he had a discussion on this, and he had, some of y'all know who I'm talking about, Taylor Lorenz. She's a so-called journalist. She's a left-wing journalist. She just lost, by the way, she just lost her second or third job in journalism because she's so radical that she's distasteful. She's not even, she's like the super vaxxer, wear your mask at all times. Let me screw with your life and defame you and say things that make no sense, to the point that even the liberal rags that hire her, like I think Vice and Vox, they get rid of her. But she was on Piers Morgan. For reasons I can't imagine. Piers Morgan Uncensored. And Piers Morgan himself, who is no conservative, but he'll call things out, he called her out, asking her, because she was smirking about the assassination, like she was enjoying the discussion, like she was having a big time talking about it. And he finally said, what the blank are you laughing at? I mean, he called her out on his own show. He said, Taylor, I don't mean to be rude, but what the blank are you laughing at all the time? I don't get it. Sorry, apologies for the language here, but honestly, I find it unbelievable. What are you laughing at? And she said, well, I'm laughing at the insane mischaracterization about yada, 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 yada. Anyway, the bottom line is this. It's a thing. There's this weird sort of almost cult following. It's like he's Bonnie and Clyde. He's like, I've got a piece here. Where did I pull this one from? Daily Caller. Daily Caller has an article that says CEO assassination exposes the darkest elements of the left wing's younger generation. Dateline yesterday. It's talking about the fact that on social media, in the words of this author, it says weirdo degenerates who should not even have access to the internet have been celebrating Mangione as a folk hero, like a modern day Robin Hood. They're even, you know, the hoodie jacket that he wears in the video when he shoots the guy. A company has already made a replica of the hoodie jacket, and it's been flying off the shelves because people want it.
Yeah, there's merch of his.
They call it murder merch. Murder merch. Who does this? All right, I look at this and think, you know, this is like a... First of all, I don't think this is all of society. I don't. But it shouldn't be any of society. There's nothing noble here. He was not standing up for the common man. You can stand up for the common man and make your cause known without murdering people in the street. And oh, by the way, he didn't confront him. He didn't get into an altercation and it went bad. He didn't come at the guy and they had fisticuffs. He didn't, no, none of it. He snuck up behind him on the street with a silenced weapon and shot him in the back. And then while he lay on the ground, he shot him three more times. And then he calmly walked away, got on a bike, and left. And they found him eating a burger at McDonald's. That's a coward. That's a sick individual. That is someone who, oh, by the way, does not deserve to be praised for anything. But the fact that he was railing against the machine and took out one of the corporate giants suddenly makes him, to some people, this weird kind of cult hero. Well, I'd say no, and I'd say we better get a hold of this right now. But you're looking at it right now, and you're finding girls swooning over his looks. You're finding guys talking about how, man, that was man up. That was man up. Now you've got, they're actually finding other CEOs with their wanted posters being posted on the streets of New York City. And you look at this and go, what the heck, man? There are people, Red State says, there are people that are celebrating the murder. It says the curse of the murder of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson, Dateline yesterday, has taken a bizarre turn in the court of public opinion after news broke about the apprehension of 26-year-old Luigi Mangione. To put it simply, Mangione is receiving an outpouring of support from sadistic weirdos on social media, which not only says a lot about our society, but could have dangerous consequences. That's the thing. Who's going to be out there that says, yeah, man, I want some of that? I mean, yeah, maybe the girls will like me too. Maybe the people think I'm cool too. Maybe they'll want to buy a jacket like I wear. Maybe I'll dress up like him and we'll be, listen, Mangione was arrested sitting at a McDonald's and he had a ghost gun. They call them ghost guns. It's a Biden amendment. I almost hate to use the term, but basically he has a gun that was made for him on a 3D printer, which now that kind of explains why he was having to rack the rounds so often. His suppressor was not working the way it should, and it was also a weapon that was, you know, made off of a printer. But he railed against the corporate healthcare system in his manifesto, and that is resonating with the common man. Well, I got news. It ain't. And what they need to do sometime soon, I say they, what I hope will happen sometime soon is the people that loved Brian Thompson, the CEO who was murdered, I hope they will get their moment to come on the air and talk about how devastating it has been to their life. So as the woke left starts making him into some kind of a pinup doll, I hope they begin to see that this ain't right. There was a, what you got?
I was going to say, this is the problem with people who are chronically online, and especially in my age. Because they can't tell the difference between reality and like something like you're looking, you see a video, like you see it on your phone of some guy doing this. It almost doesn't click in their head of, oh, that's a real person that had a real family that is now upset because he is no longer like he's dead. Like this is not like just something you're scrolling on your phone.
Yeah.
This is not something in a movie. This is not some romanticized TV show. Like, no, this is real life. Somebody actually died, and the family is actually now without somebody, without a loved family member. So it's just like when you're chronically online and you can't decipher between reality and something that's fiction, that this is the result of it. The reality doesn't click in their brain.
It doesn't. And, you know, to use the term that or the phrase that I labeled as Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
Unlike the video game where the character from Assassin's Creed who wore a hood.
Yep.
Who always wore a hood that shielded his eyes and things from the public view, who was sort of a dark hero.
Mm-hmm.
He was noble in what he did. There's no nobility here.
Nope.
And the fact that this guy wore a hood did not make him Assassin's Creed, and what I'm afraid they're going to wind up seeing. And by the way, it's not just young skulls full of mush too. Like I got this one that I'll close with. A Penn professor, an Ivy League professor. Well, never mind. I don't know why I'm saying it like that. That's surprising. Socialist UPenn professor hides her social media after a celebratory post about the CEO murdered. University of Pennsylvania professor made some of her social media accounts private and appeared to take down her TikTok account after going viral for celebrating the suspected killer of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson, being a graduate of the school where she teaches, because he was a Penn grad. Luigi Mangione, 26, accused of, yes, he is, a yada, yada, yada. But then in one TikTok, she said, she smiles while playing the song, "Do You Hear the People Sing?" Yeah. And then she talked about having never been prouder to be a professor at the University of Pennsylvania. Yeah. And then, oh, by the way, the post began to pick up steam. And when it was finally pointed out how disgusting that was, then she had remorse and took down her account so that people couldn't see it anymore. That's somebody who's teaching the kids.
By the way, Elizabeth Warren too made a stupid post.
I saw that.
Like, there's no justification for this, comma. But it's like right there
there's
is
no
where
but.
You, yeah. And she was like, but you can only push people so far.
There's no comma.
Yeah.
There's no but. There's just no excuse. Period. That's where the sentence ends. Period. And then you don't follow with a but. By the way, somebody told me once, if you have to follow your apology with a but, then it wasn't really an apology.
Yeah, and that's a senator, by the way. That's what drives me nuts.
Well, she also lied about who she is.
Yeah. So
take me to a break, man. We'll come right back and wrap the show, man. I got a ton of text messages sitting out there. See if I can get some of those in. I suspect I'll get a phone call. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. About to go to the phones, and real quick, I'll tell you, too, the grades are in from John. Phil, Dale, Jackson, Jeff Poor all get a solid A for their equally solid performances, which means today's winner, without a doubt, is JP with a perfect astronomical-sized A triple plus. Congratulations. Now I'm going to go eat some chili with an apple on the side. I don't know what that means.
I think that's reference to his Chili's comment earlier in the day.
Oh, yeah. When I said, yeah, you're just talking about it. He's mad because I didn't talk about his rest. Okay, yeah. Gotcha. John. All right, thanks, John. Appreciate you. Let me go to the phones real quick. Jeffro from Indiana. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Just now splitting the town of Nashville here.
Splitting as in you're north of it?
I want to go around. No, I'm in the middle of it.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah, I've got buildings to the left, buildings to the right.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Well, what you think about, man? What do you think about these topics we've had today?
On the Coleman thing, it kind of got me thinking. You know, we're talking about, you know, suing for defamation. Well, right now, Alex Jones has been, you know, has the Sandy Hook people have been awarded over $1 billion because he basically, they said he defamed them and caused them malice and stuff.
Yeah.
And they were awarded this money. I want to know if I can bring a class action lawsuit for $1 trillion against the left-stream media for calling anybody who's a MAGA that they defame me, is calling me a racist, a homophobe, you know, whatever name you can put out there and everything, and said it with malice. So if they can get $1 billion out of him, why can't I do a class action and get $1 trillion out of the mainstream media that's been calling me all these names?
So let me ask you this question then, Jeff from Indiana. Have you experienced mental anguish?
Yes, every day.
Okay. Have you in some way seen a diminishing in your capacity to earn a living because of what they've said about you?
Well, yes. I would not be able to be hired at a liberal entity.
I feel you may actually have, because you have to have both a cause of action and damages. I sense we're on a thread here that could have some possibilities.
I see no difference between what they're doing to Alex Jones. I see no difference what they're doing to Alex Jones than what we've experienced on the right here as being MAGA people, and what they've called us. So, you know, if they can get that out of Alex, why can't we get it out of them?
Yeah. By the way, did Alex? I don't even know. Did Alex Jones? Did his thing get appealed yet? Is he already through with the appeals?
It's under appeal right now.
It's under appeal right now. Mm-hmm. But didn't they already do an auction trying to auction off his stuff?
It's already been sold, but he's claiming that the sale wasn't done properly. And, you know, so they're suing on issues with the sale.
That's a mess. Yeah. That's an absolute mess.
Yeah, a judge stopped the sale because they was trying to give it to somebody who underbid somebody.
Well, you know what? I don't to answer your question seriously. I guess I gotta be lawyer Phil for a minute. I don't think we could ever make that stick. But nonetheless, your point is well taken.
They made it stick with Alex, so that's all I know. I don't see any difference between the claims.
So what is your thought, though, on Coleman? Should Coleman go ahead and put AL.com on notice?
Nah, I wouldn't even pay any attention to it, to tell you the truth.
Oh, man, I disagree. I say go for it. I say you got to put them on notice. You got to tell them you're not going to stand for this. You got to tell them that you got to defend your constituents' honor. I say go for it. I say put them on notice and see what happens.
Well, then I should go for my lawsuit then. You want to file a brief for me, buddy?
Maybe so.
Find somebody. Get me a good lawyer, buddy. Hey, there's a lot of money to be sitting around here.
Call me, Alabama. All right, man. Hey, be safe on the road. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good one, Phil.
See you, man. Jerry from Madison checks it in. He says, what people are excited about is there are many in leadership of corporations and nonprofits that do not fear repercussions because of their status or wealth. They know they can lawyer up by the way out, and people are sick of it. A bullet's going too far, but some of these jackasses need a mud hole stomped in them. Jeremy, I cannot possibly agree with that.
There's no but here.
And you basically tried to say that everything that happened was okay, although you really wouldn't want to go that far. No. You know what? The reality is this. If you don't like something, there are other means of doing it. But mud hole stomping? No, that ain't it either. Not at all. There's a whole family that's missing their dad right now, and it's real. All right, you guys, that's it. And do not forget, there are more of us than there are of them, and God is still on his throne. And oh, by the way, stay in the fight. We'll see you tomorrow.